your pocket. What's that card gonna be? Oh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. With me today is...
John Brennig.
It's the Labor Day weekend, and John and I are bringing you some mixed results. So we're going to talk about the matches with Miami and Charlotte. John, how are you doing this fine Labor Day day?
Labor Day day, I like. I'm doing pretty well. It's very warm this weekend, which, you know, it's great for pool time, but can't complain.
Yeah, the parties were in full swing this weekend for me, so we were enjoying neighbors and friends. We have got a couple of games to talk about, and I'm not sure how to approach them, so we'll just kind of sort of dive in. So we face both Miami and Charlotte, 1-1 draws for each. Did not predict that. Oh, sorry.
0-0 draw. Miami, there were no
0-0 calls. Draw. Sorry. Draws for each. 0-0 for Miami, 1-1 for Charlotte. And, all right, John, a gut reaction to the Miami. Let's start with Miami. What did you make of that match?
Well, there was definitely a difference between the pre-match lineup reaction and the, you know, after 90 minutes completed reaction, because that was a doozy of a lineup to drop against, you know, what people are speculating may be the best, or at least is in the best run of form MLS team currently. You know what I mean? Up into that. You saw that drop and you look like that. I'm like, wait, Hani's on the bench? Zimmerman's not in the lineup? What are we doing? Like, but end of the game, that felt like a good game. It felt like we played a lot like the league's final. We played the perfect Gary ball game to stymie them and to stop them. And it was not the beautiful game, but it's the game that we needed to play. And again, we kind of dictated that form and it worked. So, I mean, gut reaction is we played the game we needed to get some points again on the road. If it was at home, I'd be a little disappointed that we didn't come away with a win, but on the road for a midweek game like that, you know, sandwiched between two, perfectly acceptable result, honestly.
It was definitely a draw that felt like a win, and that is typical of away matches. This one's especially so since it had the major player in our league now, and you know it had the rematch of Dax McCarty that we wanted to see, and Dax played really well. The entire team played really well. The lineup with, you know, sitting Hani, that was unexpected. We don't see that very.
No.
I can't recall the last time, I guess, the beginning of the year when he was a little
injured. Yeah, when he was injured. I think there was another game where he came on in the second half when we rested him. But, I mean, yeah, it's not something you want to, but on the same token of...
You're right. There was an Open Cup match where we did.
But on the same token, he's played so many minutes, at some point he kind of needs rest. It's just kind of a wild thing to choose to do it in this game.
I think that's what gave us all pause. So we'll talk about each game separately. So let's put that aside and then we'll talk about the match from this weekend. Yep. Charlotte, that was a 1-1 draw. And the gut reaction to that match?
I mean, I know you didn't watch it live, and I was so tempted to text you and just be like, fast forward to the 90th minute, watch that, and you're good. Because nothing important happened for the first bit. We played down to an opponent. We didn't look good. They never had any real chances of anything. Our defense was absolutely solid and our offense was non-existent. So it was a very disappointing game. Because I felt like they looked like not a good team and we played down to them, and coming off a game where we clearly played up to the opponent again in Miami, or at least the perceptions that they're a better team, going and just kind of laying a stinker against Charlotte felt really horrible.
Yeah. This again, as we've talked about before on this show, the matches that end in 1-1 at home feel like losses, because you should be winning at home. And drawing on the road if you can, winning optimally. And this home draw definitely felt in the offing. Both teams were desperate for points. I feel like that's safe to say, right? Yes. I feel like it's safe to say that both teams desperate for points. Charlotte coming off some interesting moves over the break. Scott Arfield. I'm going to talk a little bit about Scott. I know Scott Arfield from his journeyman stints over in Burnley and other Premier League teams across the pond. And it's a match that was, I think, helped though by Tony Husband being on the broadcast. I will say that
always makes it better.
it is not a it's not an official co MVP, but I'm going to go ahead and award a co MVP, the first ever, to Tony Husband for that broadcast, because he made it bearable. And
I'll allow it.
there was not a lot to talk about during that match. It was a defensive battle, and if you love good soccer defense, boy, you really tuned in for that. And there were some really good defensive plays on both sides of the ball. On both teams and on both sides of the ball. And I, you know, I have to say, I did get a chance to watch the last 10, 15 minutes of the first half live when I was during the break of in the concert we were at. And then I watched the full 45 when I got home the next day, the last 45. But I enjoyed listening to Tony. So that was my gut reaction was I enjoyed listening to Tony Husband and listening and watching the last bit of that. It was such a letdown. Even though we scored, it just felt like I don't know.
I mean, when we went down,
I
post on the Discord thing. I'm like, you know, we kind of deserve this. And yes, we rescued the point, but I mean, we played poor enough that I was kind of like, yeah, at that point when I thought it was a loss for those 5 minutes, I was disappointed. But I was like, honestly, this is kind of what you get when you come in and just don't put the effort into it, you know?
Yeah. So. All right. So let's hand up some awards regardless. Yep. So hardest working player for the, we'll do these hardest working for each of the matches and then most MVP for each of the matches. So hardest working for the Miami match, who was your hardest working?
Oh man, that Lucas McDonald. All you have to do is show the highlight where Messi goes up against him and he defends him and then Messi gets called on the foul. Just watch that over and over again. It was nice. Beautiful. Lucas was played great. I think shout out to Dax, who also played really well and almost pantsed Messi on that one tackle, which was kind of hilarious. I mean, it was Dax's hand
was some revenge. There was some venom in that. Yeah.
There was some. But no, I think they both played great. But I think Lucas just stood out, especially again without Walker. He nailed down the back line. He was a standout player back there doing a lot of work. So I think Lucas is easily the hardest working for that. And if you're going to ask me for the Charlotte game, man. I'm going to give it to Hani because I feel like Hani was trying really hard to make things happen. I feel like Jacob did too, but gosh, bless his heart. I hated to use this one, but man, Jacob's final touch, like two or three times he had open field and he just touched it too hard or hit it too far. But I feel like Hani gets it for trying to make things happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think there was a comment mentioned in Gary in a post-game interview about trying to get some more synergy between Hani and Sam. Yes, we need that. I think a couple people suspect he might not quite be 100%, you know, speed wise, cause he did look a little off pace at times. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Hani was kind of going to do what he's had to do for the past couple of years and shoulder the brunt of our offensive value going forward. And he tried that. And he was trying to do everything he could out there. And yes, he did get the goal, which was great for all the stats and the, you know, golden boot and all those kind of things. But I don't know that he was necessarily the MVP cause he was a little disconnected from the team, but he was trying to make things happen. So I go with Lucas for Miami and Hani for Charlotte.
Yeah, my heart is working, and this is not the first, and hopefully won't be the last, but Brian Anunga played the game of his life against Miami. He was called out at least a couple times on the broadcast by Taylor Twellman. And whenever Taylor, like, calls you out, like, you're doing something right. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give it to Brian to kind of manifest his career. I'm a big fan of his. I saw his post game. He's very passionate about his game, which again is a double edged sword with him, right? It is a double edged. He started the match poorly, getting a yellow. You know, just the typical sort of out of control Brian that we've seen, and then he sort of dialed it in and really played, I feel like, a very, very solid game of soccer. He really did well. And then the post game presser, you know, Gary called out his good play. So I want to give it to Brian because we don't often acknowledge Brian in a positive light, unfortunately. And he's not, I know that he is not a fan favorite, at least one roadie. So anyway, I would like to give Brian a shout out. Hardest working for me in the Charlotte match had to be Lucas. I don't know, man. He seemed to be in the match and earning the foul that he earned in the last, you know, dying seconds really was a capper of a full match of effort. And so, yeah, I I do see what you're saying about Hani, but I'm going to give it to Lucas because I think that he really put in the shift the whole game. All right, MVP for you in the Miami match.
Well, this is going to oddly sound familiar. So to me, the MVP of Miami was Brian, because Brian, again, I think like you're saying, acknowledging him playing up to, I wouldn't necessarily say that it was his ceiling as a game, because it's a very defensive game. Like, I hope that he would have, more offensive prowess, but he did feel like he was playing up to his fullest potential in that game. And he did. He statistically had a great game. He was disrupting passes. He was, in on Messi. He was doing all the things we need to. Like, I think Brian was the MVP, because while Dax did quite a few things, I feel like Brian was, it's like we talk about it. Dax can't necessarily cover the whole field. He needs someone who can be a little more energetic and cover more distance, Sean with him, or Godoy, or Brian. And I think Brian did that. He fulfilled the role. I think he did everything he could. And to in-game VAR you, he did not actually get a card on that. He was called for a couple of fouls. I think it was two fouls. No, he only got called for one foul.
I think
that's high boot one. Yeah. But otherwise, he did not get a card. He played a clean game. If I saw that Brian play that game every week, I would say he could be a borderline starter, but again, I feel like this was a peak for him. It's not a consistent thing. Yeah,
yeah, I think yeah, and that's the other thing. Yeah,
but again, you pair him with Dax, who has that great passing vision, and I can see how it could make it work. And in some ways, it did. So anyway, I give it to Brian. And then in another again familiar thing for me, the MVP of Charlotte was Lucas, because not only did he have another amazing, solid defensive game, same as Miami, he was on point in everything. That effort going forward, because if you saw what happened, they mentioned on the broadcast, Fafa had the ball for that last throw in, and Lucas was coming up to take a long throw. I think he thought it was going to be, like our old Dave Romney special. He was going to come in, and so he started jogging up, and he didn't. So Fafa cleared it, and then Lucas saw it and decided to run with the play. It was very Walker-esque, where he said, "Screw this! It's the end of the game. Yeah. I'm a big guy. I'm putting my body in there." Except it wasn't necessarily going up for a header. He was going in for possession, and man, stuck the arm in front of the guy, and that guy did. I mean, you see the video from behind, but when you see in front, his arm just loops around him and just yanks him down. It was like, well, then that's clear and obvious.
Yeah, they didn't even go to the monitor, or it was a clear.
No, they never. The VAR reviewed it, and they're like, no, this stands. Yeah, it was blatant. But again, from the back, it wasn't. But when you see that front angle, you see the guy's arm up around him and just. So I give it to Lucas, because that little bit extra effort on top of, again, his defensive presence, I feel like it was a Walker game. Like, we see that in Walker. Mm-hmm. We go, look, that's our defensive player of the year. If he were to do something like that. And I'm not saying that everyone in Nashville hasn't put praise on Lucas and noticed those things. But I'm just saying, if that's a Walker, people go, that's your defensive player of the year kind of candidate, because you got the defensive thing and then you got that, nice contribution on the other end. So that's why I think he's the MVP for that. Yeah, what did you got for your MVPs?
MVPs for me was Panico. I loved his play in Miami. He playing at that level, I think playing at that level against a team like that with the world's greatest player can either break you or make you. And I think in the Leagues Cup, that made Panico. I think it was almost like a debut game for him. Like, his whole mentality seems to have shifted. He's a lot more confident back there. And so I really wanted to hand it, because Panico stopped Messi dead once and on a really tricky shot. And I was like, that is a veteran goalkeeper save. Boom. That's a save, one of those moments in a match that keeps a team, maybe that's hanging by a thread or turns the momentum. So I'm going to give it to Panico. I thought he did a really great job, and I'm really happy to be able to call out Brian and Panico in that Miami match.
And it didn't feel like a token. We played really bad, so the only good player was our goalie. It's not that MVP. It's that he was above and beyond what we expect someone in his position to do. So I want to be clear. It's not our typical, we're giving an award to Joe because we sucked. No, Panico was that far above and beyond. So I agree with you on that. Anyway.
Yeah. And so my MVP is just, I guess we're flipped. I'm going to give it to Hani just because I want to, again, I'm trying to manifest him back, whatever this funk he's in. I'm trying to manifest him, or secret or whatever the mojo you'd get to get him out of that. You know what? Let's take a break. We got a lot to talk about in the second segment. So when we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to kind of mix up the what do we learn uncomfortable questions. It's a little bit of a mixed bag, so we're going to maybe touch on both. John's going to share some stats. He's already shared some. We're going to share some stats, but we're going to talk about who or what needs to get off our pitch. If you want to go, stick around. Stay with us. We are back. All right, John, I did not have a premium experience when I was at the concert because I didn't have premium coffee. And you know where I love to get my premium coffee? Tempo, no, Tex-Mex Tacos, and Premium Coffee. They're next to the stadium. You can check them out in Section 118. They are, Javier and his family will take great care of you. They're not a sponsor of this pod, but I wish they were. All right, uncomfortable questions time. I guess my uncomfortable question, let's just start with the bad news, good news. So the bad news is like, Hani's mentally or physically is still not quite there. Is this break going to bring us back into form or not?
Maybe. And you speak of a mentality thing, and I know this is odd, but I think of, I don't know if you've seen the highlight from last night where Boanga tried to score on LAFC and he had two defenders in front of him and he took the shot anyway. And Vela was wide, stupid open right there for an easy pass in. And I saw that video contrasted with the one later where Messi passed it to Campana and Campana made the easy goal. I mean, it was a creepy, like, identical thing of here's how Messi passed it right and here's how Boanga just went for it. I feel like Hani's gotten a little bit too much like Boanga where he sees that in. I think he's trying to force some things. I think he's taking extra touches because he – I don't think it's a selfish thing. I think he wants to score. And I also think he realizes – and this is to his credit – yes, sometimes he does have other people up there, but they're not always the best options. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes Schaffelberg is open. I mean, Schaffelberg is an okay finisher. He's not the best. I'm going to trust Hani to take a shot more than I am Jake. You know what I mean? Like, it's a higher percentage thing. But I also feel like, you know, when we go up there, our guys aren't always, I feel like we've just not quite been in the right positions. We're like, oh, look, there's a blatantly obvious man. Pass it to him. It's a you know, one-on-one with the goalie, you know, high percentage chance. I feel like, well, it is, but then, you know, the defenders are defending well enough. So Hani tries to force something. And I get it. I get why he's doing it. And I don't think it's working. I feel like when he's flowing, like I think back to like I say, the Chicago hat trick, there was two of them. When I think back to, you know, the one from last year, you know, where he just got like the free kick of the other one, like it's just stuff flows and he's there and he's doing that. And I think a good example is, was it this Miami game or was it the game last weekend where they had that cross pass and it went right to Hani in front of the goalie and he just curved and it went over. It was in Atlanta. You know what I mean? He curved that shot and it was just him and Guzan. He was near the top of the 18, dribbled a little closer and just missed it. I feel like in form, mentally on, sharp Hani doesn't miss that. He doesn't do those things. Like, it just seems like he's trying to force it. It's in a little bit of a funk. And I feel like it's one of those things, like we talked, we got to break out. Remember being last year, he had a even slower start than this year and had like one goal and like two assists over the first like eight games or whatever. And we're all like, where did he go? And Gary's like, chill, you know, goal scorers do this. They'll find their form. And he did. I think he will. It's just a matter of when. And I'm hoping that what I mentioned earlier that Gary hit on, that he and Surridge kind of get on the same page. And that I feel like this is another key. The last couple of games, we've changed formations and tweaked people. You know what I mean? Like, Surridge wasn't available for Miami, so we went with Fafa and Schaff and the all fast, all speed lineup, which is good. But I feel like we need to get, here's our formation. Here's what we want to roll out every single time against players, and here's where Hani fits, and here's who he's going to be with. Let him get synergy with those strike partners. Let them practice that. I feel like we've done a little too much adaptation and or forced substitutions the last two games, and it's hurt us because we're not consistent. I feel like if he had that consistency, so if they can work on that, I think we will be in a better situation, and it's possible that he can come out of that and do that. But, you know, it's still kind of on the guy, so I can't say it with a certainty, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, I've carefully avoided talking about Surridge because I feel like his play has really dropped off since League's Cup, and it's notably absent his aerial duel. He's losing all of his aerial duels, and I for a player his height, it seems odd. But then again, I think back with him in Nottingham, that's just not how they play. They don't play the ball the same way we do. They play out of the back. You know, it's more of a continental style, building out of the back, passing first league, And we are definitely much more of a, maybe more, I'm going on a limb here, more of a Bundesliga, like really trying to find the tall man in the middle with that long pass, or the tall man, or the four, you know, or the fast man in the, up the side with the, you know, Shaq Moore and Schaffelberg. I don't know,
Well,
but
and so to build on that, I'm gonna sprinkle in one of my stats that I was gonna pull out later. But yeah, in the game against Charlotte, Sam was 1 for 9 on aerial duels. One. So I mean, I think that goes to show you that yes. Now, I also don't think Joe had the best clearances in some of that game. Some of his clearances were a little poor. So I, you know, but I do agree that it, I mean, and I will say statistically, Thiel was not much better in the game. So he wasn't, he was 0 for 1, which okay, was not many. But I feel like Thiel's better at those and has been. I feel like, again, it's something Serge needs to learn. And that's, I don't know that we're necessarily going to see this this year and maybe next year, you know, after he's had an offseason integrated with the team. Like I could see him being consistently better and we go that route. But it does make me wonder, yeah, do we need to be a little more crafty about that? Do we need to be a little more careful? Because just booting it and knowing that, you know, Teal's going to get ahead and knock it towards someone, Fafahani, anybody, and maybe go forward and we keep possession. It felt like every time Joe booted it was almost a guaranteed turnover back to Charlotte in that game. And again, I guess credit to some of their center backs for winning those duels as well. But
Their midfield was actually really that. Gary talked about how the Charlotte's midfield played very, very well against us, and that has been a theme this year. That if the lineups are correct and the formations, you know, are mismatched, if a team has a really strong midfield game, they can usually dispossess us very easily, both in aerial duels and in just dispossessing us from the ball, trying to getting forward. And I felt like that was Charlotte's game plan, and it worked pretty well. Their coach is really good too. I mean, Charlotte is a franchise that I think is going to see some success sooner rather than later. So, you know, it'll be a team to watch. All right. What is there anything we should take away? What did we, you know, getting into the what do we learn part of this? Is there anything we should take away, or should we just not make a mountain out of a molehill out of the last 5, 6
Well,
games?
so I think we can take away this. We still have the best defense in MLS.
No.
I mean, we are the first team to hold Messiami scoreless. And I mean, over 2 games, 180 minutes, we held them to one fairly, I mean, you got to say, high skill, low chance, high expertise shot that Messi made. You know what I mean? So, well, I guess we won't count the Campana thing where he completely whiffed it at the end of the League's Cup. That was funny. But no, I mean, our defense is still good. It's, you know, I mean, we're still Nashville. We saw in both in that, at least in the Miami game, we dictated that we were going to go back and absorb pressure, but we were going to do it. We were going to be organized. And like, again, I saw some of the highlights and like, there was one where LAFC, like I saw a guy and I'm like Shaq would never let that guy run free and get in behind. Like we just don't make mental mistakes like that. You know what I mean? Like, so we still have that, which is why we are still letting in the fewest goals, less than a goal a game. So we're on pace with that. Again, it goes back to the same issue we've had before with the offense, but I feel like to me, what I've learned to try and not make it an uncomfortable question is, yes, we have a little bit of questionability in midfield. Yes, we have some questions of where they're going to goals from, but I think we have some of the players. To me, the last couple games have been about, I don't know that we were prepared for Atlanta. I don't know. I still don't know necessarily what to make of that. But with Miami, they defended well. Kamal Miller had the game of his
He did.
life with those 2 tackles that prevented goals. I mean, the man played out of his mind.
He was
According to
very
FootMop, he
good.
was the highest rated player through the whole thing. So,
He
like,
was
first of
very
all, I think
good.
you have to recognize that he was the only difference between Hani not making that goal, and we could have won that game. It
Twice.
was
I
just
think
Kamal Miller.
twice.
I don't
I
think
think he
Callander had a
took I
chance
think Kamal
when he was
Miller
that
took
close.
two I think Kamal Miller arguably took 2 goals off the board.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
So if you erase his game of his life of the season, whatever, we possibly win that game. So I think there's something there. So I think it's more of we have to continue to get the chances. And I think because of the lineups, because of the tired, I think we've just been inconsistent. We've gotten to a flat 4-4-2, not the diamond, which was so successful. You know what I mean? We had Leal in, but then we kind of went back to it when Wheel subbed in on Charlotte. So to me, I think there's a little bit of with the rest and coming back and we reset. We might be able to come out and be that team that we look like in the League's Cup. You know what I mean? But I think the biggest difference is what you mentioned. When we are playing like those Mexican teams, they go for it. They were always pushing forward. Charlotte pushed forward, but only when they had assured possession. They weren't nearly as aggressive. And so you're right. It was more of a game to be won in the midfield, whereas when we got possession back, the Mexican teams had seven people forward. So there was three back, and you just go for it against them. You know what I mean? Whereas Charlotte had a more reserved midfield. They were only committing a few numbers up. So it made it a lot harder to counter or to push up. So I think it's because I think we've seen some of that is these teams are not nearly as aggressive. And so our counterattack doesn't have quite as many opportunities because they are staring more disciplined. So I think to me, that's a little bit of the opponents we faced have been different. And that may, that obviously affects the result. And I think that's some of the way I see it. So I don't know. What have you gleaned from these last two?
I feel like that it's, you know, a little, again, to maybe darken the theme a bit, but it's a little bad news, okay news. So, you know, the bad news is again, I think there is a significant lack of quality in our attack, and it's been for six games plus now. You know, if you just took Leagues Cup play out, and let's just say we dropped Club America, right? Let's just say we lost that match.
Yeah,
we would be having a very much more pessimistic tone right now, I think. You know, because of the string of the run of form we've been on the last seven games, very poor since June. So you know, I think what we learned is that, you know, maybe we need to retool or maybe like you said, we need to go back to what was working. You know, what we have now isn't really getting us where we need to be attack wise, and so we need to focus on that. And I think we did learn from the Miami match that our bench has talent. Our bench has talent, and is, you know, our bench has enough talent to get us across the finish line in some of these closer games where we're not going to have our star players out there. And that is encouraging. That is encouraging. Yeah. So,
yeah, it kind of reinforces our theme of they may not win the game, but they can keep us in the game till we can bring in someone to do that.
Yeah.
So here's the last kind of not too uncomfortable, but the way we sit, we're seventh currently. We're 5 points behind Columbus, which is the last home team for the first round. Obviously, after that, it gets reshuffled. Do you think, because Valer posed a similar-ish question to Gary, do you think that we can still realistically hope to be a home team in that first round the way things stand? Or do you think we're gonna be on the road?
I think we're going to be on the road. I just, I don't have it. It seems like we're in this pattern now. That's, I don't want to say it, but let's just say it. I don't want to say it, but we need to say it. It seems like our club has now a pattern of having very bright Aprils, you know, and very dark
May,
Septembers.
June, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not good. This may be the third straight year we've limped into the playoffs. In a run of bad form. This will be year three. That is a trend. That is a legitimate trend, and I don't like that. That's what I'm taking away. That's sort of my final word on that. All right. Any more stats you want to share with us?
No, I think I sprinkled in a few. But the most important stat two from the American game. One I already mentioned was Messi has one goal against us. But the most important stat. After we're in the fourth year of our MLS existence, Joseph Martinez still has not scored against Nashville SC in MLS play.
After scoring the very first goal against us, he has yet to
against score. Us in the USL iteration. Yes, but Joseph Martinez is still goalless against only two teams, Nashville SC and St. Louis. But again, they only played them once, and that was pre-Messi. So, you know.
All right, John. Why don't you tell me give me the key thing in the podcast. Tell me who or what needs to get off our pitch.
Would you like some words there, Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know there's been a lot going on this week outside of soccer. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say this. I saw something. You know, you and I both play video games. For those who don't know, we've both been playing Starfield.
Yes,
it's a beautiful. We're suckers for RPGs. We're sucker for Bethesda games. But I saw something, and I thought it was beautiful. It was a picture of, and it said like, you know, early 2000s video game reviewers, and it had like a scale from 0 to 100. It's like, you know, 40 and below, absolute crap. You know, and then it had a range, and it was like in the 70s, decent, maybe worth buying. 80s was like good or whatever.
Yeah,
and then it shows today's scales where Anything below an 85, absolute trash. And then the window's like 85 to 87, not great. 87 to 92, okay. 92 to 5, you know, and like it, like it, something about the way we review games has shifted to where if it's a nine, if it's not a 90 or above, it's absolute crap. Like somehow we've, you know, it's like the, you know how sometimes you get into schools where they have different grade, you know, scales and stuff. It's like the grading scales for reviews have been all off. And I saw that and it's like a light went on. And I'm like, yeah, why can't a game get an 85 and still be considered good? Why is that trash nowadays? Why have we become so absolutely picky? You know what I mean? So, video game rating in general, the whole industry, I think we've, because you know, you and I have talked about this on a personal level. Gamers, we become to expect so much, be so entitled. Why is it broken on day one? Where's this patch? Where's this stuff? So in general, the review industry, video gamers, we need to chill the heck out. So all of you can get off my pitch because I feel like it's perpetuating the cycle of, oh, it's broken on day one. This is flip the table. I'm done with it. It's crap. Give it a 75 and it'll, you know, sink sales. It's, you know, like stuff happens. It's not a perfect, like, the whole video game review sphere is just, it's outrageous at this point because we've got such high expectations. And honestly, I also feel like there's such a huge bias in some things like, well, we know the new Zelda game is going to be so good. So it, like, I feel like there's an inherent bias if it already starts 5 points ahead of things. So it's just like, man, it needs to get off my pitch. Like, let people enjoy the games they enjoy, you know? So anyway, that's my rant. And I am enjoying Starfield. And anyone who disagrees, oh, it's another classic buggy Bethesda game, just play it for yourself and find out
Yeah,
because it's
this is
good.
not this is not a this is not a video game podcast, but I gotta be honest, I have yet to encounter major
I have yet
bugs.
to encounter a bug and I have enjoyed it. Now, there are some things that I don't love the way some of the interface works, but you know, I've learned to adapt.
That's
So,
a criticism, but not a you know, an
yeah,
observation of
not an
bugs.
absolute
But
error. Anyway, so what you got for
I tell you what, I'm giving another this is going to be a double yellow with
me?
my pitch. And it's for Scott Arfield. He gets two yellow cards, which will give him effectively a red card. His first yellow is for being Scottish. He is from Livingston, Scotland. And if you listen to the broadcast, you learned a couple fun facts about Scott Arfield before he came to Charlotte. One is that he was a journeyman, a bit of a journeyman in the Premier League. He played for Burnley, where he had the most success. He was also noted for his rather spicy play. He is a bit of a angry Scot, as the stereotype goes. And he, you know, he famously walked on to the Canadian national team, never having set foot in Canada, but through that whole weird European, you know, Canada, Europe, yeah, England thing, played on the Canadian national team, being there only 5 minutes, literally got off the plane and put on a Canadian national team jersey. Much to the chagrin of
Weird.
several veterans on the Canadian national team, by the way, was not
What
well
year was
liked.
this? This was a few years ago,
Yeah, this
yeah?
was a few years ago. Yeah,
Okay.
not very well liked for that. Anyway, learned. Thank you, Tony Husband, for that bit of story. That always enlightening. Thank you, sir. But his second yellow goes for mocking Hani Mukhtar's celebration when he
Ah,
scored the
yes.
goal. That is not cool, man. That's not
And if
cool.
anything, that's why karmically we got that goal, if for no other reason than to spite him.
Yeah, Scott Arfield, you can get off my pitch. Two yellow cards. Now, obviously, you know why I didn't give him a red, because he is Scottish. But two yellow cards. He gets he gets the red. You get off my pitch. You don't make fun. You don't mock the celebration of Hani Mukhtar. You don't do that. Not in my house. Not today. Not ever. So, with that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about matches coming up. Might talk a little bit of playoffs. And if you're, you know, seems like we've already talked a little bit about playoffs. We'll start talking about playoffs. We'll start doing this a little more often as playoffs start coming up, because I know a lot of new listeners may be wondering how the playoff system works in MLS. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we'll also tell you what we got wrong. So stay with us. All right, John, thanks for holding there with me. I do want to ask you if our listeners want to tell us what they think of Scott Arfield's, either his walking onto the Canadian national team, never been in Canada, or his mocking of Hani Mukhtar's celebration. How could they tell us what they feel about that?
You can go to Twitter and find us at GOMP underscore pod and give us a get tell us your true feelings for Mr. Scarf.
And if
Or
you're
your review of Starfield. Heck, I'd be interested to see what you think.
yeah, if you are so inclined, you can also join us on our live broadcasts. We do try to let everyone know that we broadcast on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. The holiday weekend got a
Obviously
little
not
busy,
today,
so we weren't able to. So we moved it to Labor Day. You can join us at Get Off My Pitch on the YouTubes. All right, John. We also will tailgate occasionally, and we may have one more coming up, so we'll let you know on the Twitter. All right, John. What team are we playing, and when are we playing them?
Well, small detour. It is now an international break for the most part. Now,
Okay.
everywhere other than CONCACAF, most of these are for qualifying for World Cup stuff. The US isn't because we're hosting, because we're automatically in. So just to note, we are playing two friendlies. Saturday, September 9th at 4:30, we are playing Uzbekistan. And then
Okay.
Tuesday, September 12th at 7:30 p.m., we're playing Oman. Now, it might sound weird. Well, part of it is because, again, Europe, South America, and most of Asia are doing real qualifiers. So we had to find teams who were not busy with those to come play friendly. So we had something to do in the
Those
window.
two teams would not be busy, yes.
Hence we got, I believe they're both from the technically from the Asian Confederation. And yeah, I guess they're qualifying now. But UEFA and CONMEBOL, which is South America, are full-blown qualifying. So we couldn't get any European or South American opponents.
Well, I
And
think Oman plays in the African League. I may want
Oh,
to may
maybe
want
they
to
do.
var you may need to var that, but I think they
Many
play in
of
the
them are that.
African League.
And then I guess we just didn't want to play Mexico again for the 18th time in the last 2 years because, I mean,
But
you know,
to
we
be
all know how that
honest,
ends.
yeah, but to be honest, there's only one real there's only two good teams in the African League, and that's Nigeria and Senegal. So anyway.
Anyway, so I just wanted to throw that out there for your viewing pleasures. However, for us, our next game is going to be on Saturday. I'm pretty sure it's Saturday. Yes. No? Wait. No, it's Wednesday. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh,
That's see,
gross.
that's why I look. Wednesday the 20th against Kansas City. So we do a road double. We go to Kansas City on Wednesday the 20th, and then on that Saturday, the 23rd of September, we play in San Jose. Now, note the Kansas City game is at 7:30 because they are also in the glory that is Central Time Zone. San Jose game is at 9:30 p.m. Central Time because they're way out there on the West Coast. So, you know, grab your coffee or just watch it Sunday morning. Up to you. But I did want to throw that out there that it is an absurdly late game because it is a West Coaster.
Boo.
So that begin those are the first two legs of our three Western Conference team kind of round out here, and then we host Seattle on the 30th. But yeah, so we actually have 2 weeks off or a week and a half off from Nashville soccer. So enjoy the US stuff and hopefully the boys are resting and getting forward that. But I guess because this is the last podcast for them, we have to predict both the Kansas City and San Jose games. So what do you feel about those?
Well, let's go over our score predictions from last time. I did actually was cynically said we would lose the Miami match, but I did predict the
Eat
draw
those
against
words.
Charlotte. Yeah, I did predict the draw against Charlotte, although I
Yeah,
thought
I
it would
went
be
with the draw
more.
against Miami, which turned out correct. And yeah, I did predict a win against Charlotte, and I'm
Yeah,
frustrated.
y'all know that I love me some Johnny Russell, so it's hard for me to predict a Kansas City match, but
Well,
they have
and
turned
I'll tell
around their
you another.
season though.
Yeah, because they're Western teams, and people may not be aware, because again, I'm fairly focused. Kansas City's below the playoff line in 11th. San Jose is just above it in 8th. So they're kind of in that mix, but they're only separated by 4 points. So they're both decent teams, but kind of fighting for that playoff line. So they are meaningful games to both teams.
Yeah,
Anyway, you were talking about your boy Johnny Ross.
and both teams had a brief run of really good form. I know that Johnny Russell had like a team meeting at one point in Kansas City because they were doing so poorly. I think they started the year with like four or five straight losses. It was pretty
Oh yeah, it was a
bad.
brutal
It was
stretch in the
brutally
beginning.
bad. They have tried to salvage their season. So I'm thinking it's a 2-1 win for Kansas City. They want to get above that line. They feel like they deserve to be in the playoffs. San Jose, those matches never seem to go the way I expect them to. I'm going to do a 2-2 draw because I just they never seem to really. They're always weird, and they're always like, we're always playing maybe not our best team. Our best, we're not in the best form and usually not playing our best players. So I'm going to hopefully we can nick a 2-2 draw out of that match, but that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, you're right. Kansas City lost 8 of their first 9 games
Oh my
this year.
gosh.
And yet they're not below the playoff line because they've been on a good run of form.
They
So
have.
this one's hard because normally I agree with Wednesday games, we're going to be kind of down. But it's the first game that week. You know what I mean? We're not coming off of, you know, 3 days of rest. We're coming off, you know, a week and a half. So I don't know. I think, honestly, to me, I think it's kind of up to which game matters to Gary more. In other words, which one does he think is more winnable and he's going to trot up a lineup? Because again, we have a week off after the San Jose game. So it's kind of like, is Gary going to go all in on the first game or is he going to kind of play it cagey and then we go all in against San Jose? And I'm not sure because I do think that we're going to come out for one of the two to play for a tie, hang on to the 70th minute, then, you know, go forward if we're close. And the other one, we're actually going to try to win. That's my prediction. I don't know which is which. So just to be contrarian with you, I'll say we go out and we try to win the Kansas City game and we win 2-1 and then we tie San Jose 2-2. I do agree with you. We have weirdness against them where we've had games with late goals and odd scoring things. And like, I don't know. So I'm less confident about that. I feel like because we have a solid defense, we can stymie Kansas City's attack and, you know, pick some holes back there and have some time to score. So I'll go with 2-1 and then I'll go with, you know, I like you said 2-2 tie for San Jose. That feels right. That feels right. We'll go with that.
Yeah, I
So
think there'll be
that's those are
goals,
my
but
picks.
I think it's going to be a weird game.
Yeah, we've never been. I don't think we've ever gotten a clean sheet against them. That's something else to VAR and
No.
look up. But I feel like we can never. Something always happens.
Yeah,
So.
we've predicted all kinds of weird scores with them back when we were in the West, and it was just weird. Every match seemed to be strange. But yeah, all right. What about the playoffs? So let's add a little section here in our final segment. And it's basically give us a snapshot. You already mentioned, but kind of give us a snapshot of where we are on the playoff picture and what it will look like depending on our run of form in the next few games.
So we sit at 7th with 40 points. The playoff line is down with between DC and Charlotte, or Charlotte, DC and Chicago, who have 32 and 33. So we're 7 points clear of that. We're not really threatened to fall out of the playoff picture unless we just don't win anything.
Yeah, I
So
don't know about that. Yeah.
no. Now Atlanta is 2 points ahead of us in 6th, but we have a game in hand. So in theory, if we go out and win our next game, we jump them and we're in 6th. Columbus has the same number of games and they're sitting in 5th at 45. And again, that's that line to host that. So remember, the first playoff series, the first seed in the conference gets a bye, which is Cincy. No one's going to catch them. So period. Cincy gets a bye for the first round. Then it's top four versus bottom four. But remember, it's that new format this year where it's best of three, home, away, home, where the home team is the higher seeded. That number's, you know, 2 through 5. And I think I forget if they said it, if the games go to extra time or if it's the weird Leagues Cup direct to penalties. I'll have to look that up. I think it's extra time, but there is a win. I forgot what they said, but there's supposed to be a winner for each game. And so it's going to be kind of like, not like the home and home you see in like Champions League or whatever, where there's two legs. It's going to be three. It's going to be more like a basketball hockey playoff series where it's the best of three and whoever wins two games advances. It's not about, you know, your cumulative score or things like that. It's like, no, game
Interesting.
one has a winner, game two has a winner, game three has a winner. Whoever is the first to win two of those games, they advance.
And the top four host, they
Top
have the
four hosts
home.
are numbers 2 through 5, host numbers 6 through 9.
Okay.
Yes. And then after that, I think it's based on the seeding continues, but it's back to one game knockout rounds, classic MLS playoffs. They only tweaked that first round for now. So
Okay. All right.
either way, good news. No matter where we sit, we in the first round, you will have a home playoff game. Because again, the lower seeded team at least gets that second game. So we will host a playoff game if we're in the playoffs, but we could host two and, you know, possibly the more important two in that case. So
Yeah, I think
that's where
that.
we stand. Again, we're not really in a threat to drop out of the playoffs unless we can't get a result for the next couple of weeks. But we are really looking at if we can ratchet it up to get up to Columbus and host, that would be good.
Yeah, I think MLS is going to take some learnings from the Leagues Cup and maybe make some more tweaks coming up. I think the Leagues Cup really was a eye opener for how exciting a tournament can be. All right. So what did we get wrong before we break? What did we get wrong from
Don't
last
think I
week?
had anything big for last week. No, I think we were pretty clean.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little bit of
Miracles happen.
extended. Yep. We're going to, yeah, I've already made some mistakes, but you've heard me in game. So that's nice.
Oh, wow. And we've speculated on some more. This one will be a possibly long one.
Yep. So we are going to take a little bit of a break during the international break. And we are going to come back after the next two matches we just mentioned. And we do appreciate you listening. We do know we've picked up some new listeners. So thank you very much for joining us. We hope that our podcast is entertaining and a little bit informative, which is our goal. Thank you, John. Have a great Labor Day weekend, and I will talk to you later, my friend.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.